Now you are studying the book of Judges. And as I was thinking, what I would like to speak on, this word Judges kept on appearing in my mind. So I told myself, in that case, let me speak to you on the judgments found in the scriptures, the coming judgments. Some of us think that there is only one universal judgment. However, I'm going to show today and the other days that follow, no, only one day, not other days, that there are other judgments apart from the judgments we are familiar with. So the question is there only one final universal general judgment for all on the last day? What I'm going to say, many other churches will not agree. And perhaps even some here may not agree. There are various viewpoints. But one thing I would like you all to be familiar with is, here is one viewpoint. If you think it's biblical, you stick to it. Otherwise, you will not know what is biblical or not, because you will be so vague in your understanding of what is to come. And we cannot prove that it is this, because it is still in the future. But there are signs now that prove that if we look at the Bible literally and not figuratively, many of the things are coming true. So is there only one general resurrection and one general judgment? Today we have been meditating upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ has promised that there will be a resurrection one day of those who are dead. Will there be one general resurrection where all those who are sinners and all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are resurrected at one single time? John chapter 11:24 seems to say so. When the Lord Jesus Christ told Martha, referring to Lazarus, her brother, he said, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes, I know, my brother will rise again. Yet will be so on the last day." Giving the impression that there will be one day when all will be raised up, and then all will have to face what is coming. The Lord Jesus Christ also seems to suggest that, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good and unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." So there is this suggestion, an implication too, that one day there will be a resurrection. Both good and bad people will be raised at the same time. The good unto life, the other unto damnation. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 seem to confirm this. "At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even at that time, same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting condemnation or contempt." It gives the impression that one day, all the good and the bad, the saints and the sinners, will all rise again, and then will face one judgment. Is that what the Bible teaches? Revelation chapter 20, verses 5 to 6, have this to say. "But the rest of the dead," giving the impression that there are people who have been risen from the dead, and there are others who are left behind. "The rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection, suggesting that there is a second resurrection. Because there is the first, there must be second. "Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death and the second resurrection has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So there seemed to be a first resurrection. In that first resurrection, there will be people who will be raised, and there will be kings and priests unto God, at least for 1,000 years before the second resurrection takes place, or the second death. So Revelation chapter 20 verses 5 to 6 does not seem to teach that there is one universal resurrection, but there is a resurrection where some will be raised from among the dead and others will live. So there is a possibility of another resurrection, and here it is stated very clearly that there is a second death, therefore a second resurrection. Now, putting it very simply, there is the first resurrection and a second resurrection. But we know that with regard to the resurrection, a few resurrections have taken place in history, and that's already proven. Christ rose again from the dead. And here is what we have to look forward in the future, that we believe that the church will be resurrected and then will be raptured into heaven to be Christ in the air. Then we believe that there will be still a resurrection when the Jews will go through the great tribulation, and then many of them will be dead, and those who are dead would have been raised from the dead. Because in Revelation chapter 7 we read one of the elders asking John, "Do you know who these people are who are standing at the throne?" He said, "No, I don't. These are the saints that have come forth from the great tribulation." So there would have been another resurrection, and these consist of the saints at the great tribulation who have been raised again from the dead. And then that would be finally the second resurrection, where all those who were left behind, the rest of the dead, those who were left behind in all these resurrections, will one day be raised again to face the judgment seat. The final great judgment and the final great white throne. So there seems to be more than one resurrection and not a universal resurrection. There seems to be a time where certain people are raised from the dead, but others are left behind. So this is what I would see from the scriptures as I know. Consider three judgments which are referred to in the scriptures. Three, they cannot be the same, for the simple reason that there are three different places of judgments, thrones or seats as they are called, and the judgments are taking place at different spheres, in different places, and involving different people. So they cannot be at one place and at one time. For example, we read of the saints at the judgment seat of Christ in heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, we read that the Lord will come himself alone. And when he comes, he will call all those who belong to him to be raised, and they will be raptured into the air to meet him mid-air. Then after that, he will take them to heaven. What for? 2 Corinthians 5:6-10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad." Now definitely this is one group of people who have died, who will be raised again, and they will be raised among those who are not with them as well, those who are not in Christ. Those who are in Christ, those who are in the church, in the universal church, will be risen, and they will meet Christ in the air. And then after that, they will go into the judgment seat. All of them, we would refer to those who are in Christ, not those who are not out of Christ. So those who are out of Christ are the rest of the dead who will be left behind, waiting for another time when they will be resurrected. But these people who will be raised will be those who are in Christ, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone will receive according to what we have done, either for good or for bad. All right, more about this in detail later on. So, up to this stage, we know that the possibility of a universal resurrection and one judgment definitely cannot be there because of the differences. Secondly, we read in Matthew 25, 31 to 46 of another judgment, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. First, the Son of Man shall come himself and shall meet the church in the air. Then here we see that the Son of Man will come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. The first one, he himself shall come alone, and we shall meet him in the air. The second one, he shall come with angels, and he shall sit upon the throne upon his glory. And this will take place upon earth, when he shall separate the people, the Jews and the Gentiles, the sheep and the goat. And those who treat the Gentiles, who treat the sheep badly, they will be punished. And those who treat the sheep, the Jews, well, they will go into the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, and they will prosper. So, there will be this judgment of the goats and the sheep. And there are some people believe, we have not proof of that, but to account for those sins in heaven, referred to in Revelation chapter 7. Who are these people? They are those who have gone through the great tribulation. Perhaps this judgment of the goat and the sheep. Before that, or at that time, we are not sure. Some of these Jews who have treated us, and some of the people who have gone through the great tribulation, will be raised up, and they will be there, because they are up on the throne, up before the throne in heaven. We see them there. So they could have been raised at that time, because there is no mention of when they will be raised. Right, let me summarize. So, that is first the resurrection of Christians, the church, those who are in Christ, as apart from those who are unbelievers. They will be raised up, and then they will be taken up to heaven, because Christ will meet them in the air. Then Christ will come again, this time with his angels. So this and this cannot be the same, although both are referred to as the second coming of Christ. This one, Christ is coming to the saints, and he will bring judgment, and then he will judge the sheep and the goats. How the Gentiles have been treating the Jews during this time when Christ judges the Christians up in heaven, the judgment seat of Christ, there will be tribulation upon earth. And the Jews will be punished for their sin in crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Gentiles also will be punished. And the Gentiles, if they treat the Jews well, they then will be the goat, the sheep, and they will go into the kingdom that will be set up later on. The goat will be sent into Hades to wait for the time when they will be resurrected to face the judgment for their sin. And then after that, we believe there will be a 1,000-year reign of Christ upon earth, and then at the end, heaven and earth will be burnt up, a new heaven and a new earth will take place. But before that takes place, there will be the judgment of the great white throne up in the universe, because heaven will be no more, hell will be no more, old heaven, old earth will be no more. All will go to disappear. And then in space, the judgment of the great white throne. And so, with this in mind, this is one way of reconciling the various contradictory references in Scripture that tell us of different judgments of different people and with different results. So, this is one program that we are expecting for all of us who are in the assemblies who believe in this. Okay. Then finally, there is the judgment of the sinners at the great white throne. Remember, we have explained to you the judgment at the great white throne. Well, now there's a third judgment. And this is the judgment of the great white throne that we read of in Revelation 20, 11, 15. It's a passage that is too long, so I have no space in PowerPoint to produce it. You can read it. But I would like to sing out certain things. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the earth fled away. Now, here again, we see it's a different time. No earth, no heaven. It's in space. The judgment is taking place. And we read also, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead that who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were all judged, each one according to his works. Here is definitely a judgment that's completely different from the judgment at the great white at the seat of Christ, judgment of the sheep and the goat. This is a judgment that is the final one, because heaven and earth, old heaven and old earth, have been put aside, no more. And now in space, all those who have been dead, the rest of the dead, all those who have been dead from the time of Adam right up to this time, all will be raised, and all will face the judgment seat. And later on, as we see, they say death and Hades. What is death and Hades? Death is those who are dead, the rest of the dead. Hades, those who are dead, go to Hades. Today, if people tell you, go to hell, say to him, you go to hell. I'm not going because there's no hell. Today, there's no hell. Don't be afraid of hell. Today, people who are dead, people who die, go to Hades, the place of the dead, waiting for the time when they will be sent to hell. And that's why at the great white throne, Hades, all those who have died in the past, and up to the time when the judgment takes place, all will be raised, all those in Hades. And then Hades will surrender their dead, and then they will be judged, and no one will escape. No one will escape, and all will be sent to hell. And that is where it is held, the lake of fire. Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, and each one according to his works. No grace. Each one according to his works, and no works can save. It is very, very serious future, dear friends. And that accounts very seriously challenging you and me of those loved ones, our relatives and our friends whom we love and whom we have friendship with. They will one day face this judgment. It's a very serious thing. Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. That's hell. This is the second death. This is where the second resurrection raises these people up and then face the judgment of the great white throne, and then they will cast into the lake of fire, the hell, second time, as I the lake of fire, and that is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So this is what we see as a general program. So now there can be no general judgment, because the scriptures speak of one judgment as being in the air, Christ coming to meet us in the air in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 17, and another on earth, the sheep and the goat, and another in space when heaven and earth will disappear, and then the judgment of the great white throne will take place. This is the last judgment of the second death. See, you know, this is a very serious future that we are facing. Many of us seem to not know this, and in our ignorance, we live the happy life that we live so far. It's a real challenge to all of us. So do understand all these things. Alright, remember this. If you are born once, you will die twice. If you are born twice, you die once. What do I mean? If you are born once, you and I, all of us here, born once. That's our physical birth. We are born once. And if we are not born again, then you die second time, the second death. But on the other hand, if you are born twice, you are born in your natural birth, and then you are born again because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you die once. You will never go through the second death. Hope you understand this short, precise statement. Pregnant with meaning, but understanding. If you are born once, you die twice. If you are born twice, you die once. So this is something, a truth that you and I must face, and all others in the world today. So very quickly then, is there a universal one resurrection, one judgment? No. Firstly, there's a judgment number one where our sin was judged by God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died and he was resurrected to prove that he had been accepted as a sacrifice for our sin. Then there will be the resurrection of the church. The church, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be raised, and there will be the judgment of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, where we shall be judged for our faithfulness, and then he will give us the rewards accordingly. Thirdly, there will be the judgment of the Jews. The Jews, that actually it's not so much a judgment, it's more of a punishment, because the Jews crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. They will go through a period of 7 years of terrible tribulation that never happened before or never will happen again. And then those who come through will be raised. Then there is another judgment of the nations, where all those who treated the Jews badly will be judged. And those who, this is on earth, and then those who come through this judgment will go through the millennium. They will reign. There will be those who will occupy. So those who go through the millennium will be all good people, beginning. All good people, because the unrighteous would have been dealt with. And then after that, there will come the resurrection of all those who have died in the past, right through from the beginning to the end. They will be raised. Death and Hades will clear up the dead, and at the great white throne, they will be sent down from there. No one will escape to hell, the lake of fire. Okay, that's roughly the program I can tell you of. So, let us now go seriously to what I want to speak of today. The judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is definitely for all of us. And therefore, we must pay attention to it and see what is expecting us so that we may be prepared for that day. There are three passages referring to the judgment seat of Christ. First, Romans 14:10, 2 Corinthians 5:10, 1 Corinthians 3:10 to 15. We are going to refer to these three passages in detail. Firstly, let's look at Romans 14:10. If you have your Bible, can open to it so that you can refer it and see that I say the right thing. Firstly, the mention. It says that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? Some versions say we shall stand before the judgment seat of God. It doesn't matter. Christ or God. Because we know for sure we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, that is a parallel verse, and it's judgment seat of Christ. And all versions declare that. Whereas some versions, like NRSV and NIV, translate God. Well, whatever it is, we know the Father judges no man, but has committed a judgment unto the Son. So it's a judgment seat of Christ. Christ will be the judge, and we shall be the ones judged on that day. The mention, the meaning of the judgment seat. What is this seat? Now, this seat is different from the throne that was set up on earth to judge the sheep and the goats. this seat is different from the great white throne, because it is not a throne, it is a seat. The Greek word is bima. Bima. We shall stand before the bima. And what is a bima? The bima is a seat and not a throne. It is a seat which is used in the for sports. You know, the referee's chair. It's a referee's chair, where the referee sits on the chair and he judges who comes to the winning point first. And he judges from there. That is the judgment. Who reaches the judgment, who reaches the line first, the finishing line. Who crosses the finishing line. That is the referee's chair. It's different from a throne. Although it may be referred to also as a tribunal in a judge's court. Criterion. It's a Greek word, criterion, used when making a rule in court. All right. So, the difference in the seat here is that this is to judge who comes first, second, third, or fourth, not who is guilty. The judgment seat of Christ is not to find those who are guilty and send them to hell. The judgment seat of Christ is to find those who will be first, second, or third, and reward them accordingly. That is a great difference. And that's why there is not a universal judgment. The motives. How is this judgment done? This is a judgment of motives. Things done unto the Lord. Romans 14, 6-8. There are people who do certain things. We are not going to judge them. We should not judge them. They do things to you may be wrong, but to them it is unto the Lord. Let it be. If we are there, we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Do not judge them. Alright? And a judgment of works. 1 Corinthians 3:13, where we read, every man's work shall be made manifest, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Remember, I said just now, it is not a judgment of your sin to send you to hell. That is another occasion. This is a judgment of your work, of your motives. Because it is to try to find out who is first, second, or third. So to speak as a figure. But actually, to reward you for your faithful service unto the Lord. And if you have not done things well, it's just that at the judgment, you'll be ashamed. Because you have done nothing for the Lord. You'll be just ashamed. And that's what he says in 1 John 2:28, that when he comes, we should not be ashamed. Because we have nothing to show him. But we are to have something to show him when he comes at the judgment seat of Christ. The moment in time, when will this happen, is in the future. After the rapture, when we have been resurrected from the dead, and we meet Christ in the air, and from there he takes us to heaven, and then the judgment seat of Christ takes place. When we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ, is still future. Romans 14:10. We shall all stand before. We shall all stand. When he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living. And that is only so after the rapture. When the rapture takes place, those who are dead will be raised to meet him in the air. Those who are alive, they will also be raised to meet him in the air. The dead and the living. He is Lord of the living when the rapture takes place. And all those who are dead and living at that time will be raised and will meet the Lord in the air and will be judged accordingly. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Then shall every man have praise of God. Not every man shall be condemned. Remember, I said this, that this is not a judgment of your sin to send you to hell. This is a judgment to reward you, to praise you, to praise you. So again, we see this judgment is different. It cannot be a universal judgment. The manner. Judge therefore, Romans 14:10 now. If you have your Bible open, you can look at Romans 14. Judge not others' motives. Leave all judgment unto the Lord. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What does it mean? Romans 14:10, we have a discussion of believers who are weak and those who are strong. Those who are weak will keep certain days, just as in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Those who are strong are those who say, "Aiyah, what is all this? We don't allow all this to affect us. We can do everything." There are those who cannot do anything. There are those who say they can do everything. Both of them say, "I can do everything for the Lord." The other one says, "No, I cannot do this, I cannot do that because of the Lord." Whatever it is, you do it unto the Lord, you are responsible to the Lord. The Lord judges you according to your motives. Don't judge other people. Do not misjudge the practice of others with respect to motives. 14:3 and 4. Romans 14:3 and 4. If some people behave in that way, it's not for you to judge, because you can see their motives. Let the Lord judge their motives. Don't just say, "Ah, he's like that, he's like that," because you are not supposed to do so. Matthew chapter 7 verse 1 says, "Judge not that you be not judged." But remember, don't misuse that text. Judge not, be not judged. This is only with regard to motives that you cannot see. Then you judge not, be not judged. But with regard to works that you can see, with regard to their fruits, what they do, judge them. For by their works you shall know them. By their works you shall know them. Because of what they do, you know that it's wrong. Therefore, judge them accordingly. Do not allow them to come into our midst and then do havoc with our life. But motives is a different thing. Each one is accountable for his or her own actions. 14, 5, 6, and 12 of Romans. Everyone is responsible for what he does, he holds in you, he believes. He is responsible to the Lord, each unto the Lord. Do not put a stumbling block in the path of another. If a person feels weak and he cannot do what you can do, do not stumble him. 1 Corinthians 8. There is one person who feels that it's wrong to eat food offered to idols. But you don't feel it wrong because you are not exposed. You have never been exposed to a life of worshipping idols. So to you, eating food offered to idols is nothing. So you just eat in front of him and he gets stumbled. That's not right. If you feel that he is easily offended by this, don't do it in front of him. Don't do it in front of him. Consider him. You see, for example, there is a difference now between my wife and myself. I come from an idolatrous home where I worshipped many, many idols and I went to many, many temples. And I had problem with food offered to idols. I don't eat, I don't touch food offered to idols. Whereas my wife will not feel that way because she came from a Christian home. And that's the difference. She should not stumble me by purposely eating food offered to idols in front of me, because I get offended. I'm still weak in that way, because I know my life when I serve idols and I eat food offered to idols and I let their influence me tremendously. I dreaded that past life. I do not want that past life. So anyone eating food offered to idols will affect me. So don't do it in front of me. That is the idea here. Don't do it. Do it as unto the Lord. For their sake, do it as unto the Lord. Don't do it. Let each be fully persuaded of the Lord. Let the Lord lead and guide. Let us then pursue what makes for peace. Do not cause problem. Do not cause trouble. Consider the weaker brother and abstain if the action can offend. Now, this is only with regard to things that are not unsound, all right? But when it comes to false doctrines and so on, then you must put your feet down firmly. Follow Christ who pleased not himself, bearing reproaches that fell on him. Look at him, how he suffered because of us. So, when we are asked to sacrifice a little bit of not doing what we want to be, because of a certain brother or a certain sister, think. Let your motive be right. the Lord has done so much for you, has suffered so much for you, you can sacrifice that which you think is right for the sake of the one who can be offended. Judge not that you be not judged does not refer to works that are manifested that you can clearly see, but to motives that you cannot see. There's still another verse, another passage referring to judgment. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Again, the judgment seat of Christ is to find out what you have done, good or bad, that we may be accepted of him. First, again, confirming, all of us must appear. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All must accept. Now, the "we" there occurs at least 20 times in that chapter alone. And in the context, it refers only to those who are in Christ. So this judgment refers only to those who are in Christ and not to sinners. Those absent from the Lord and those present with the Lord. Absent from the Lord will be those present in the body. Present with the Lord are those absent from the body. They will one day all will appear before the Lord for judgment. Those saints in the church of God, which is a Corinth as well, because written to the saints in 1 Corinthians, all these will be raised and will face the judgment seat of Christ. And all must account. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Some will receive a reward, others will suffer loss. Our works will be before the judge at the judgment seat of Christ. And some will be good, some will be bad. Those who are good will receive a reward, and those who are bad, they will suffer loss. Please note, they will suffer loss. Why? They will not receive a reward. Why? They will be ashamed that during their lifetime they have done nothing for the Lord. They have done no good for the Lord. They will be ashamed. But they will not be sent to hell. They will not be sent to hell. It says there, that's why Paul says that he is ready to count all things but loss in order, all things that will not help him get the reward, he will count them all but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of his name. The assessment, everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad, 2 Corinthians 5:10. The criterion is good or bad. What is good? Good is from the word meaning valuable or virtuous. Is it bad? Bad is from a word meaning good for nothing, worthless. Alright? So that is the criterion. Good or bad? But it's not to do with you have sinned against God or not. Because your sin has been cleansed and washed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been dealt with. But your service and your faithfulness, your stewardship to the Lord after you are saved, what is it? Good or bad? Finally, we end here. The judgment seat of Christ. Third reference. This is a common one. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. Look at the people who will face the judgment. Again, believers. Believers. It's a judgment of believers in 1 Corinthians 3:11. Sorry. Who are those people? It says there in 1 Corinthians 3:10-11 that we are built upon the foundation of Christ. So it is those people who are founded and built up on the foundation of Jesus Christ. It involves one who lives or dies unto the Lord, because he is the Lord. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. It involves one who is either absent from the Lord or present with the Lord. So definitely the judgment seat of Christ has to do with believers. No unbelievers are involved. Right. The purpose. Why the judgment seat of Christ? To test every man's work of what sort it is. What work is good or bad? It is a test of works and the motive that inspires them. Romans 14. The work can be gold, silver, precious stones. It is good, gold, silver, precious stones. What are they and what does it mean? It means that these are works of quality. Or is it wood, hay, stubble? That means it is a work of quantity. Wood, hay, stubble, you have a lot, but no quality. Gold, silver, precious stones, little, but quality. So which is your work? Wood, hay, or stubble on one hand, or gold, silver, precious stones? Quality or quantity? That is the test at the judgment seat of Christ. He says, fire will be used to burn them all up. In this judgment, the fire will burn up the stubble. 1 Corinthians 3:15. Wood, hay, and stubble. All will be burned up. Nothing to show. Nothing. And the saint will suffer loss. Please note verse 15. Very precious. He shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Please note that. Very important. He himself shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. He will never lose his salvation. Once you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, once you are in Christ, you will never lose your salvation. You will be saved. Your works will be burnt as stubble. Wood, hay, stubble, your unfaithfulness, all burnt up. You will be ashamed in the sight of the Lord. But you will be saved. He himself shall be saved. Very precious words in 1 Corinthians 3:15. In the judgment, in the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord will include the great tribulation for the Jews. The fire will burn the sinners at stubble, will leave them neither physical root nor branch. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. That will be during the great tribulation. But this has nothing to do with us. The product. Either he will suffer loss, or he will be saved as so by fire. Or he will receive a reward. That's the whole idea. The judgment seat of Christ is to give you a reward for service, for your faithfulness, for your stewardship, for all that you have done for the Lord. It is an act of appreciation. It's a judgment that we should be proud of. We should be able to face. How glad it is to be acknowledged by the Lord and to receive a reward from him and honor from him. This is just a guess. Crowns will be given, and there are five crowns listed in the Bible. There is a crown of life for the people who have died for the Lord Jesus Christ, the martyr's crown. There is a crown of glory for an elder who does his shepherd's work faithfully unto the Lord. The elder will receive a reward. There is a crown of rejoicing for all those who win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. They will also be rewarded. There is, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. Those who are saved by you, they will be your crown. They will make you happy and well rewarded for what you have done. There is also the crown of righteousness for those who love his appearing. So you find that everyone has a chance to have a crown. You witness for the Lord, you have a crown. You look forward, oh, I'm waiting. The Lord is coming soon, and therefore I will tone down my life. I will never sin against him. I will walk in the way that he wants me to walk. You have a crown. These are crowns that are before you. Remember, the judgment seat of Christ is for service, not for punishment. For service and for honor and for reward for what you have done unto him. The incorruptible crown every time you win a victory over temptation, and today there are a lot of temptations, you win the temptation, you will receive the reward. So others do it for a corruptible crown, that as all get that incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, so fight I, and keep under my body, and bring it unto subjection, that I may not be tempted to all those worldly pleasures that we face today. And we must triumph and thank and go forward to win that prize for the Lord. So, the judgment seat of Christ is the works. It's to test the works and the rewards. And on the chart, you see the five crowns before the judgment seat of Christ. And it will take place, the judgment seat of Christ will take place at the rapture up to the time when, at the end of it all, the church will be married to the bridegroom. That's what we read in Revelation chapter 21, chapters, right? Revelation, the man will take place, the marriage of the Lamb. Because the bride will be spotless, clean, all cleansed from all shame, and then will be presented well, beautiful and noble for the bridegroom, and then the bridal marriage will take place in Revelation, as we read, the marriage, and then the marriage of the Lamb. Okay? So, thirdly, he will be rewarded for good works. And what are the possible good works for which he will be rewarded? The good works for witnessing, that your light shall shine before men, that they may see your good works. The good works of walking in his workmanship, that you will be faithful to walk in his way. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, that we may do good works in worshiping God. And ladies, you have a great privilege to honor God and to worship God, because those are your good works. Other good works, well, we read in the scriptures, we have the good works of charity. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds. The good works of generosity, be rich in good works, generous and ready to share. Be good in, as a man of God, thoroughly equipped for good works. 2 Timothy 3:17, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see? This is how you get your good works rewarded. For consistency in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. And loving the assembly, that you will love to come to a meeting. Love the assembling of God's people. For that will be a good work. So these are all your good works that you can present before God at the judgment seat of Christ. Conclusion. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. What is required in every one of us is stewardship. And stewardship is faithfulness. It is not the amount of work that you accumulate. Today, many people are thinking of amount, size. The bigger the size, the better I will be rewarded. No! How faithful you are. You may not even have any work to show. That faithfulness is your work. That's stewardship. How faithful you are to the Lord. It's not how much you do, but how true you are to what you have been called to do. That's what it is all about. And that will be shown at the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain, do it faithfully. No one may see it, no one may praise you, no one may reward you, but the Lord will. This is what you need to do to face the judgment seat of Christ. Be faithful. It's required of stewards to be faithful unto the Lord. Let no man beguile you of your reward. This reward is waiting for you. Faithfulness. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, your faithfulness, that no man take thy crown. Last week, we have a very bad judgment to deal with. the judgment of the great white throne. And then, if I have time, we'll deal with the judgment of the sheep and goat. And that will finish us with the three judgments. Okay, so if you want, all these things are found in my book. Okay, thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for what awaits us. We thank Thee, O Lord, that while we are to be judged for our works and motives, all behind all this is our faithfulness to Thee. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in all things, faithful in all ways, and faithful in all time. That, Lord, we may not lose our reward, but we shall use that reward, that crown, to crown Thee, Lord of all. We give You thanks in Christ's precious name. Amen. Just before I end, there's something. Why do we need a crown? We need a crown so that in heaven we walk around the crown. No, I have a crown. No, I have a crown. No, Revelation. We earn a lot of crowns in order to cast the crowns that we have at the feet of the Lord, at the feet of the King. This is why we want to earn crowns, to have them at our disposal, to cast them before the King. Thank you.